30 years ago today, over 900 members of what was known as the People's Temple died from apparent cyanide poisoning in an event termed a revolutionary suicide by the Reverend Jim Jones in the South American nation of Guyana. The event became known simply as Jonestown, and it was a horrific incident that still unsettles on revisiting the event 3 decades later. The poisonings in Jonestown followed the murders of 5 others by temple members at a nearby airstrip. The victims included Congressman Leo Ryan, the first and only congressman murdered in the line of duty in the history of the United States. Also shot and wounded with Congressman Ryan was San Francisco Examiner reporter Tim Reiterman. He would recover and ultimately write the definitive book about Jim Jones and the People's Temple called Raven, The Untold Story of the Reverend Jim Jones and His People. Originally published in 1982, it has been reissued in paperback. WMNF spoke last week with Tim Reiterman. In the first of our 2-part interview, we began by asking Reiterman about how some perceived Jones and the People's Temple to be the dark side of the revolutionary fervor in the U.S. of the 1960s and 70s.
Jim Jones, as you know, started his church in Indiana, in Indianapolis. And there, it was a very rare thing in the late 1950s. It was integrated church. And when he moved to California, first he went to Ukiah, which is a relatively conservative community, so his politics were not as evident. But he expanded into San Francisco and Los Angeles, and there he found some kinship with the liberal democratic political establishment. Jones was able to provide campaign workers and turn out large crowds on a moment's notice for politicians, and they rewarded him with access to important people. He had, for example, a private audience with future First Lady Rosalynn Carter, and Mayor George Moscone appointed Jones to the presidency of the San Francisco Housing Authority Commission just before Jones ordered the exodus to Guyana.
Tim, you also write, we're speaking with Tim Reiterman, formerly of the San Francisco Examiner. Tim, you also write in the preface, the people in the People's Temple were not misfits, or some might charitably call them losers at all. They were actually socially conscious people who were drawn to the interracial church that Jim Jones had put together.
Yes, that's correct. There were quite a few college-educated people who joined the temple for political and social reasons. They wanted to do something for their fellow man, and they wanted to be part of something that was larger than themselves. There were, however, some people who were in need of help who came to People's Temple. There were poor. There were some ex-convicts. There were people who had troubles. But the dynamic of the temple was that there were people who wanted to help others, and there were some people who needed help. For the most part, the members, however, were the product of other churches. Jones stole followers from a number of the black churches in San Francisco, and as he traveled around the country in temple buses on recruiting trips, he would meet and fraternize with other ministers, and then would attempt to woo away their followers, and so he built his own church that way.
We're speaking with Tim Reiterman, who, along with the late John Jacobs, wrote the book Raven, The Untold Story of the Reverend Jim Jones and His People, originally published in 1982, republished now in the 30th commemoration of the Jonestown Massacre. And you, this is a real tour de force of reporting, and you get into a lot about Jim Jones back from his very early in his youth in Indiana. This guy was charismatic, but also very strange and had a dark side from the very earliest part of his life.
Yes, he did. Going back to his birthplace in Indiana, I found that he had been a neglected child, that he grew up feeling very much a social outcast and misfit. His father didn't work. His work life was cut short by a disability. His mother was sort of the breadwinner in the household. And Jim Jones sought out churches because they provided him with that sense of family. At the same time, he began holding services, little religious services, for his friends in the loft of a barn. And he would lock his playmates in there and try to control them. And on a couple of occasions, he used a firearm to try to control and intimidate his best friend. And that pattern of behavior was consistent with his life. He tried to control and intimidate members of his church. At the same time, he was espousing principles that people could admire and were drawn to, simply. Jones hid this dark side of his personality from most of his followers, but those who were aware of his tendencies, his sexual proclivities, his selfishness, his narcissism, were either so compromised or so committed to the cause that they ignored it or sucked it up.